Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's draft day Thursday in L.A. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are, again, live in beautiful Los Angeles. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. We are loaded today. Pete Schrager is going to be joining us in 15 minutes. Jake Glazer, Chris Mannix, David Shaw, Stanford coach, will be on the NFL Network tonight. Daniel Jeremiah, former NFL scout, packed today. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Thursday, my favorite day of the year, arguably. Love today.
This is like second Super Bowl for you.
It really is. This is something I like. I liked it for years. It's nerdy, and tonight's the ultimate nerd draft.
It is the ultimate nerd draft,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, last year we had five quarterbacks. They were fun. There were stars, Lamar and Baker and Sam and two Joshes, and it was tonight.
It's like a grit draft.
Yes. It's a grit draft. It's a grinder draft, and I love it. We have all sorts of great stuff today, so you want to spend the next 3 hours with us. I appreciate you stopping by. So you get all sorts of rumors. I mean, one thing we know, I know it's easy for you to say, Colin, you don't know more than these guys, but the reality is there was a team that drafted Tim Tebow in the first round, and I told you the day it happened, it's a massive mistake and a waste of a pick, and I was right. A team drafted Johnny Manziel, and I told you, despite what Nick Saban said, he's going to be a complete NFL bust. I'm not always right, but I can see the bombs happening. I can see the whiffs happening a mile away. I'm not a big believer in drafting wide receivers in the first round. They're almost always busts. But here's the big rumor today. The Giants, New York Giants, Daniel Jones, Duke quarterback, selected with a number 6 pick. That's the big rumor from people who cover the Giants and are in the room. That would be an incredible reach. If that's the 6 pick, that is an incredible reach. So Sam Darnold a year ago, there's not a scout in America that doesn't have Sam Darnold drafted significantly higher than Daniel Jones at Duke. Darnold's bigger, stronger, more athletic, better arm. Not negotiable. Not arguable. Dave Gettleman came out a couple weeks ago and said, the priority is to select the best players. You can't go for position. You got to get the best guys. That's why we got Saquon Barkley. We thought he was the best quarterback, the best player, excuse me. That's why we took him over Sam Darnold. We thought he was the best player. Okay, if that's the truth, if that's really what you're doing, you're telling me Daniel Jones is the 6th best college football player in America. He's not the 6th best college football player in the ACC. He's not a top 15 player in the SEC. He's not a top 5 player in the Big Ten. Listen, the last 2 years against ACC teams, the best teams he plays, he was 6-10. That's with an exceptional head coach. He completed 54% of his throws in the ACC. I'm not saying he doesn't have value, but I have been on something for years. If you do not complete 60% minimum of your college throws, you will not make it big in the NFL. There's one exception, Matt Ryan, and he was like 59%. This young man, with a great college coach, with a fluffy out-of-conference schedule, under 60%, 54% last 2 years. He's a 3-year starter. So that means this kid knows the offense, got the same coach, not a lot of chaos, 54% in conference. So if you take him, what you're telling me is you must think he's better than Sam Darnold. Out of your gourd. By the way, he's not only not better than Sam Darnold, he's not better than Josh Rosen. Not a single scout thinks that. And the Giants have 12 draft picks. They could give up one, the 17th, and take Josh Rosen. My takeaway on what the Giants should do, number 6 pick, take a defensive player. Number 17, trade it for Josh Rosen. And then you've got 10 more picks. Because actually the Giants over the last couple years have upgraded their O-line. They've got a good tight end, couple of decent receivers, star running back. They just need defensive players and a quarterback. So this is the classic say one thing, do another. This is the big rumor. Now remember this. I know what you're saying. Colin, you don't know. I told you, Johnny Manziel, not going to work. I told you, Tim Tebow, disaster. Never forget. I'm also the guy that says, don't take wide receivers early. Go back to the 2015, 16, 2017 draft. I'm like, don't take wide receivers. It's the number one bust position. Draft 2 years ago. Who's the number one bust? John Ross, wide receiver. Called it. Don't draft him first round. 9 pick to Cincinnati. Bust. This has the makings of a wild reach. A wild reach. And I don't want to hear, well, what do you know? I have basic theories. I write books on these stupid theories of mine. And when it comes to NFL quarterbacks, and by the way, don't tell me I said Baker's a bust. I told you, Baker's not going to be a bust. Baker Mayfield's not going to be a bust. I told you that. I wouldn't draft him. Undraftable if I was a GM, all that nonsense, crotch-grabbing stuff. He's not going to be a bust. He's too accurate. And before you go crazy, oh, look how good he is. He finished third in his own division last year. Let's settle down. He finished third. Under 500. Let's not go crazy. All right. Draft tonight. Can't wait. Coming up, Peter Schrager. I will give you my 5 draft predictions for tonight in about 8 minutes. Okay, let me shift to this. So this is kind of fun. Pretty good first round of the NBA playoffs. Clippers last night. Lou Williams beat the Warriors. So here's what we know about the Warriors. This is not as good a team as 2 years ago that won a title. It's not as good a team as it was last year. They're very thin. They only play 2 guys off the bench, really, Iggy and Looney. They don't play a ton of defense because Draymond Green used to be a defensive stopper. He is no longer a defensive stopper. He's just an overplayed niche player. And there's a real apathy here. When you have Kevin Durant, and I think it's a lot of it's Kevin Durant, when you have a great player like Kevin Durant, the Warriors sometimes get sloppy and lazy and wait for Kevin Durant to bail them out. I mean, they were clearly looking ahead to the Houston Rockets, who just beat the Jazz. In fact, Lou Williams of the Clippers admitted last night that he could sense as they were beating the Warriors, yeah, they're just looking ahead to playing the Rockets.
For us, our focus was to come in and extend the series to get another game on our home floor. It's their mistake for looking ahead, you know, and so that's on them.
But when I think of this series, what really jumps out to me is Kevin Durant has done it. As there's a lot of great basketball players in the world, but over the last 20 years, the best basketball player in the world really tends to separate from even the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Let's take Michael Jordan. When Michael was in his peak, the second best player was Barkley, Drexler, Akeem, excellent players. Not close to Michael. When LeBron was in his prime, let's say 4 years ago, back 4 years, it was a really young Kevin Durant who wasn't fully developed. Steph Curry was small and fun. Derrick Rose, tiny, tiny Derrick Rose. It really wasn't close for about 6 or 7 years. Kevin Durant is in his prime. Now, he's probably in the back of his prime. But Kevin Durant separated from the NBA. He's like Michael and LeBron. He is significantly better than every other player. Now, I only felt this once LeBron got hurt. So maybe LeBron comes back healthy and closes the gap. I think he's better than LeBron today. It may be inches, not feet, if LeBron comes off the injury and gets rolling. But I'm watching Kevin Durant, and I think a huge part of Golden State's apathy is you can just rely on Kevin. You just kind of sort of wait, stand around, and even with Steph and even with Clay, he had 45 last night. Every NBA coach is trying to make the opposition shoot tough twos. It doesn't exist with Kevin Durant. There are no tough twos. You can't force him into shooting a tough two. They're all 45% shots. When Michael Jordan was the king, the gap between him and Barkley and Drexler and Akeem was huge. The gap between LeBron and his prime, Derrick Rose, a young KD, Westbrook, was huge. Who's the second best player in the NBA? James Harden? Giannis can't shoot threes or ball handle like KD. That's a big old gap. Who is the second best player? James Harden? Not as athletic, doesn't have his length, doesn't have his size. I mean, I think Kevin's just separated from the NBA. And I've seen it happen multiple times. You know, I thought Magic and Bird actually in their prime had kind of separated from the league until Michael came in later. But when you got a guy like Kevin Durant on your team, it is really easy to look over and think, we'll get ours later. They've become very dependent on him. And in fact, he is now so versatile, he eliminates the need for Draymond Green, who like 2-3 years ago was Mr. Versatile for them. Now Kevin does all his stuff just at a significantly higher level. He's separated. Warriors, I think, close it out in Game 6.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
NFL draft is tonight. You know, it's funny. Last year was a big ratings, big draft, bunch of quarterbacks. And, you know, fans will often complain, how come you only talk about the stars? Because this draft has no stars in it, and it'll get a much lower rating tonight. Why? Because it's got a bunch of grinders and a bunch of interior linemen. Fans want to talk about LeBron, Brady, Durant. We know. We measure the numbers and the metrics, and we see it. Tonight's ratings will probably not be great for the draft. There's no buzz around it because there's no flashy stars. There's no Baker, Johnny Manziel, Sam Darnold. It's a bunch of grinders outside of Kyler Murray. But for me, if you love football, this is what the draft is all about. Let me make my five predictions for the NFL draft tonight. Number one, I think New England will trade up multiple times tonight, meaning at least twice. Why? They've got 12 picks. Belichick, in recent drafts, is looking for specific pieces, and he'll do whatever it takes to get those specific pieces. They had 3 draft picks last year that would have started but got hurt. People are forgetting about those. Left tackle, running back, and corner. They just don't have many spots available. What they need is 4 impact players to get a little more athletic on both sides of the football. I think they need a tight end and they'd move up. I think they could use a corner and they'd move up. A pass rusher, an interior lineman. Of course, they're always seeking value. They may not move up in the first round, but I think New England will move up multiple times over today, tomorrow, and the weekend. Number 2, the Redskins will butcher something. Listen, Daniel Snyder, according to reports, is now taking over the first round. Oh, good Lord. They can't get the quarterback right. I have a hard time respecting organizations if you can't figure out the quarterback. You can't get, I mean, they overpaid for a guy I like, Alex Smith, and then they overpaid for Case Keenum, and then they drafted RG3, and they've passed on multiple quarterbacks that are better than all 3 of those guys. This is an organization that is now, to me, on equal footing, dysfunction-wise, with Cleveland. Hopefully Cleveland's moving in the right direction, but Washington will butcher something and reach for something in the next 3 days. Third thing, we are going to love what the Green Bay Packers do today and tomorrow. Here's why. Because the Packers in the last 2 years have loaded up in the first 3 rounds on defensive players. 7 of their 8 first picks in the last 2 drafts have been defensive players. And that was really smart. And they also loaded up this year in free agency. Safety, 2 linebackers. So what does that mean? That means they're going to go offense with 1 or both of their first round picks this year. Green Bay is going to do some offensive stuff, and everything on paper looks good with Aaron Rodgers. So if they draft a receiver, they draft a tight end like Noah Fant at Iowa, we're all going to go crazy. So mark my words, tomorrow we're going to love their pick. Over the weekend, we're going to love what Green Bay is doing because it looks like they're going to lean offense and getting Aaron Rodgers some nice young toys, and that just looks great on paper. Number 4, somebody's going to reach for Daniel Jones. I'm not saying he's not draftable, you know, mid-second round, but what I find remarkable, that the quarterback with the weakest arm of the top 6 were nitpicking Kyler Murray. We nitpicked Josh Rosen. We nitpicked Sam Darnold. We nitpicked Lamar Jackson. We nitpicked Dwayne Haskins. Isn't anybody just saying, he didn't have a very good arm? You don't even need to nitpick. 54% completion rate last 2 years with a great coach in the ACC. I'm not saying he doesn't have value. I could see New England taking him in the second round and saying, we're going to sit on him for 2 years. I get it. They do that a lot. I could see an organization sitting on him for 2 years. But I have a feeling somebody's going to reach for him. We're nitpicking all these quarterbacks, except Daniel Jones, who I think in the last 2 years, argument, weakest. I mean, weaker arm than everybody. Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray. He's got the weakest arm of all those guys. And number five, the Raiders, and this has been their goal, are going to get talked about a lot tonight. As I've predicted and told you, they're not selling tickets in Oakland. It's a lame duck year. And the Golden Knights hockey team has gobbled up a lot of the season ticket buyers. That's a lot of money in Vegas. They're trying to sell tickets. And you can absolutely, we've seen this in the NBA. We've seen it in the NFL. If you have a big opening draft night, you can sell season tickets. You can sell 6,000 season tickets. You draft Zion, you're going to sell 7,000 in Orlando or somewhere. So there are, I think the Raiders are, they want to win tonight. They want to get talked about tonight. They got tickets to sell. This has always been a lower revenue team in the last decade. They don't do very well on game day revenue at all. It's like half of the Giants, half of the Eagles, half of the Steelers, half of the Patriots. They're not a good game day revenue team. They tarp off the upper deck. They got tickets to sell. So they want to make a huge, massive splash tonight, and I think they will. There'll be rumors, stuff being leaked. They'll get talked about all night long. Those are my five draft predictions.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So I'm Daniel Jeremiah, as a former NFL scout. He'll join us next hour. I was looking over his first-round picks. I do not see a lot of busts in his first top 10. He's got a quarterback, an edge, a defensive tackle, linebacker, tight end, guard, linebacker. One of the reasons I don't see any big busts is because he doesn't have any receivers in the top 10 and only one in the first round. With very few exceptions, I would always pass on wide receivers in the first round. Calvin Johnson was the rare wide receiver that I would have even taken him number one. By and large, I don't think wide receivers win games in December, January, and February. I don't think you build football teams from the sidelines in. You build it for the center out. In fact, I think the biggest potential first-round bust this year, I always call one, is DK Metcalf, a wide receiver from Ole Miss. He's a classic. He's off to your left here in this picture. He's like the most impressive physical specimen maybe on the planet Earth. Big body, combine warrior. I think he's got bust written all over him. Not a bad kid. I just see a guy that, again, looks like Superman, and I've seen this act before. They just look great with a shirt off, and then they can't create enough separation, and they don't have the skills needed, catching radius, that I'm looking for to be great. And just let me give you an example of why I would not, and this is nothing against DK. It's a bigger topic. I don't believe in taking wide receivers first round. Let me take you to the last three drafts. Let's go to the 2015 draft. There was a handful of busts. One of them, seventh pick Kevin White, receiver, Chicago Bears, bust. Philip Dorsett, receiver, bust. Devontae Parker, Nelson Aguilar, 14th, 20th pick. Not a bust, but disappointing. Amari Cooper is the only guy that's been worth the money, and even his initial team bailed on him. Let's go to the 2016 draft. Corey Coleman, Baylor to the Browns, bust. Will Fuller, Notre Dame to Houston. He's good when he's healthy. He's never healthy. Josh Doctson, TCU to the Redskins, bust. Laquon Treadmill, Mississippi to the Vikings, 23rd pick, first round. Is either fourth best wide receiver. Let's go to the 2017 draft. Corey Davis, fifth pick. He's not a fifth pick. Now, I do like his talent a lot. He's got health issues, trying to stay healthy. If he's healthy, I think he's really, really potentially good, but he can't stay healthy. The seventh pick was Mike Williams, Clemson. Didn't play his rookie year. He was hurt. Again, like Corey Davis, when he's healthy, he's a specimen. John Ross, total bust. Number nine pick, Cincinnati. I just don't believe in wide receivers, not in the first round. There's a ton of them in this draft. I think they're all second, third, and fourth round guys. There are people I would move up for. I would move up for a great tackle. I would move up for a great interior rusher. I'd even move up for an edge rusher, a corner, a quarterback. Wide receiver I don't get. And so when I'm looking over these mock drafts, I don't think we're going to have a high bust rate this year, especially in the top 10. I think it's a lot of grinders. I think it's a lot of interior linemen. I think it's a lot of tackling machines at linebacker. I don't see a lot of busts. And so that's one of the things. I don't think it'll be a big bust draft. There's not a lot of flashy players tonight. It's the least flashy draft ever. It's a lot of really solid linebackers and offensive guards and linebackers that tackle well. And I could make the argument that Kyler Murray, because they're going to ask a lot of them early and it's a really tough position to play, there's a little bust there. They don't have a good O-line in Arizona. They're going to ask him to start immediately. That's a really good division with really good defensive players and very good coaches. Wade Phillips defensively, Pete Carroll, Shanahan. That, you know, Kyler Murray is going to have, even if he succeeds, it's going to be bumpy. That's a position where Baker Mayfield was better than most thought, and he had some real bumps. He had three pick games and finished below 500. So, Kyler Murray, to me, he's a dynamic, exotic, exciting player. There's explosions everywhere, fireworks. He's got a little bust potential. Outside of that, I don't see it in the top 10. I don't think there's a lot of flash. I think it's a grinder draft. I think it's an overachiever draft. I do think one of the better players who's going to drop tonight is Rashawn Gary. He has a potential to drop. He's a Michigan player, edge rusher. He's had shoulder issues. There's a chance people get afraid of that and drop him. I think he's going to be a really good player. Again, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to be a really exceptional NFL player.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I mean, the number one pick is Arizona. The number one pick, you know, nobody knows. It's fascinating that there's a million reports, but people in Arizona don't know. And so what a lot of you don't know is that Kyler Murray is trying to, his family, they want to get taken number one because there's more money. So Kyler Murray's dad and Kyler Murray, the pro day, they're buttering up to the Arizona Cardinals. And Josh Rosen, by the way, has had, according to various reports that have been published all over the country, primarily in Arizona, he's been unbelievable in camp. He's putting his best foot forward because he wants to maintain the number one job. So what you don't perhaps know is that over the last week, as these two are both trying to impress their bosses in the Arizona Cardinals, they have both started running ads in Phoenix. Yeah, like political campaigns. It's amazing. So I've never seen anything like it. And so Josh Rosen, he got money, put some money in. He hired a political campaign manager, and he ran this ad recently in Arizona.
His nickname is the Chosen One. Some have called him the next Aaron Rodgers. He has all the talent. Now he just needs one more shot. Vote Josh Rosen for Cardinals quarterback. He's the future.
I mean, it's very appealing to me.
You know who else they call the Chosen One?
Yeah, LeBron.
LeBron.
Yeah.
He's done pretty well.
Kyler Murray saw this. He hired a rival political campaigner.
Oh.
He put together an ad, and it ran 2 days later in Arizona.
He's a Heisman Trophy winner, a phenom designed for the high-powered offenses of the modern NFL, and one of the most exciting players in all of football. Vote Kyler Murray for Cardinals quarterback. He's the future.
Now I'm split. I don't know which way to go. And so reportedly, Rosen saw Murray's ad and thought, listen, it's politics. We all know how politics works.
Right.
Get a little edgy, a little dirty. So Rosen's campaign just ran this 2 days ago.
Did you know that in the last 15 NFL drafts, only one quarterback shorter than 6 feet has been drafted in the first round? Johnny Manziel. Still want to draft teeny weeny Kyler Murray? Vote Josh Rosen for Cardinals quarterback. He's tall.
Now, that feels a little... he's not being inaccurate, but it feels a little cheap.
I mean, teeny-weeny is not a medical term for
right.
Height.
So Kyler's camp heard this, and they papered the town 24 hours later with their ad attacking Rosen.
Want to know why the Cardinals have the number one pick this year? Two words. Josh Rosen. He only won a paltry 3 games last year. Meanwhile, last year, Kyler Murray won 4 times that number. Vote Kyler Murray for Cardinals quarterback. College, pro, it's all the same.
So it was still deadlocked, but this time, Instead of waiting for Rosen, Kyler Murray yesterday released the ad first. Another negative ad against Rosen.
Josh Rosen's supporters say the Cardinals shouldn't draft Kyler Murray because he's a so-called two-sport athlete. Well, guess who played tennis in middle school? That's right, Josh Rosen. Vote Kyler Murray for Cardinals quarterback. His other sport is way cooler.
Well, Rosen was furious. Rosen said enough is enough yesterday and came out hard, very negative against Kyler Murray.
Do you know what Kyler Murray's major was in college? Human relations. Why would somebody need to learn how to relate to humans? Is he an alien? Vote Josh Rosen for Cardinals quarterback. He's definitely a human.
Now that's just weird. I thought that was weird.
It's a little off the rails.
So which way do you go after all that campaigning?
I don't know. It's
It's coin flip.
Come down to the wire. You know, you have to get in the booth and make a decision.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
There's a lot of talkers out there when it comes to NFL draft. One of the guys I really trust is a former scout for the Ravens, the Browns, and the Eagles. He knows his stuff. His name is Daniel Jeremiah. He'll be working on the NFL Network tonight with my buddy David Shaw via the Coward Global Satellite Network. Also does Chargers color analyst. All right, good to see you, Daniel. Let's start with this. I depend on you a lot. I follow you a lot. I trust you a lot. Daniel Jones, I'm hearing rumors number 6. I watched him. He's a decent athlete. I don't see a ton of arm strength. He looks like a little less talented than Matt Ryan. Maybe I'm wrong. Boy, that feels like a reach at 6 to me. They're saying the Giants like him. You tell me as a scout, am I wrong? Do you see him as a top 10 pick?
Well, Colin, he's my 32nd overall player. He's my 4th quarterback. Now, with him, the thing that is unique, I do think he has a high floor. I don't think the ceiling is quite as high as some of the other guys. I think he's going to be a safe player. You know, people that it seems like he's kind of been the whipping boy around the country. He's not a great player, but he is a good player. And you have to keep in mind, while he's at Duke, he has not had a player drafted from Duke from the time he's been their starting quarterback. So he hasn't had much around him. Teams love that he's smart. They love that he can move around a little bit. He's somebody I think you look at the floor for him as a Tannehill. You're hoping you're getting Matt Ryan. That's the same exact one I used. But the floor is in that Ryan Tannehill range. So to me, 6 is a little bit early. It's a little bit rich. But if you love him, if that's your guy, I wouldn't be shocked if it did end up happening.
Dwayne Haskins, don't love his feet. I think he could struggle to reset. But I do like his body. Urban told me he's great at the line of scrimmage. He appears to be a kid that can see the whole field, which, as you know, not every quarterback comes into the league like that. I think he's my favorite quarterback prospect. What do you think?
Well, he comes in at number 2 for me, but really the interesting thing about Dwayne, I think he's not an independent player. I think he's dependent largely on what you do in front of him, because when he can work through progressions, he's outstanding. He can make every single throw. And I talk about a lack of mobility. I'm not talking about wanting to see him roll out. I'm not talking about zone reads. I'm talking about just some urgency and suddenness to be able to climb, to step, to get away from pressure inside the pocket, reset your feet, and deliver. That's an area that he struggled in. His eyes are very fast, very quick, getting through progressions. Sometimes his feet are a little bit behind, and that can cause some inaccuracy. So I think in the right situation, well protected, he can be successful. But one of the challenges, Colin, evaluating college kids to the NFL, and particularly the two at the top in this year's draft, they have not had to function in a lot of chaos playing on the best teams in their conference. And once you get into the NFL, you're not going to have that decided of a talent advantage. I end up with Murray over Haskins because Murray, with his legs, can get away from some of that where Haskins can't.
Does it worry you, and we nitpick him to death, he is small. I think Russell Wilson plays at 220. He looks like he plays at about 190. And also, they say he's not a big film junkie, which, I mean, if some guys are just more instinctive than others, and that's not always bad. What do you like and what scares you?
Yeah, sure. Great questions. To me, the concerns I had with him from the very beginning were commitment, because you didn't know what was going on with baseball. So he checked that box. He's okay there. And then it was durability. And I know he packed on some weight. If you compare him and Russell, Russell cut weight for the combine. Kyler packed on weight. So their weights look similar on paper, but when you're next to him, they're not that similar in build. So those would be my major concerns. Also, the one-year starter. You know, you can compare him to Russell Wilson, but Russell had played a lot more football in college. Russell was built a little bit sturdier, so there was no concerns in that department. I like the plays Kyler can make. He can play from the pocket. He can make every kind of throw. But again, he had four NFL offensive linemen that we drafted in this year's draft, a fifth. The fifth one will be drafted next year. He's throwing to a first-round pick in this year's draft, likely a first-round pick in next year's draft. You juxtapose that to what we were just talking about with Daniel Jones. He's always taken the field with a talent advantage. In high school and at Oklahoma, when he steps on the field with the Arizona Cardinals, that will not be the case.
It's so interesting. Daniel Jeremiah, former scout for the Browns, Eagles, and Ravens. He's now part of the Chargers broadcast and a guy I really trust. Daniel, you know, we were just joking earlier. Nick Bosa is a good player, but most scouts tell you he can be a little tight, a little rigid, and he's not as talented and as fluid as his brother Joey Bosa. And he's considered like a can't-miss guy. I want you to talk about him, because what my guys tell me is, listen, he's more of a grinder than his brother, but he's not as gifted as his brother. Is that fair, and does that worry you?
Well, you hear that from some folks. I know some people have that opinion around the league. I don't. And I get a chance to watch his brother, you mentioned, doing the Chargers each and every week, and I see so many similarities between the two. The difference, I would say, with Nick, Nick's got a little more leverage. He's a little shorter. He can get in you, and he can win with power. And if you look at the best pass rushers, just look at sacks each and every year. You can get enamored with the speed guys, and people can say, ah, Nick Bosa doesn't have that elite speed. The guys that are there every year, the 12, 14 sack guys, they're power guys. That's a big part of what they do, and that's what Nick does. And I absolutely believe that translates. There are some god-awful right tackles in this league that aren't going to be able to mess and handle Nick Bosa. So to me, I think he's somebody that not only, for me, has a high floor, has a high ceiling. I think he's the best player in the draft. It's 1A, 1B. Quinnen Williams is right there with him. To me, if you're set at edge, you take Quinnen Williams. I have no problems with that whatsoever. Those, to me, are clearly the two best players in this draft.
They call it two tight end personnel in the NFL. Increasingly, yeah. Some teams like to use it. I could see New England moving up and getting a T.J. Hawkinson, who I kind of feel like is sort of a can't-miss player. Iowa does a very good job, by the way. They may not win Big Ten titles, but their guys can play in the NFL. They do a really good job. I want you to talk about him in an increasingly important position. He feels can't miss to me, T.J. Hawkinson.
I love him. And I asked, who's your favorite player in the draft? For me, it is T.J. Hawkinson. And having watched the Patriots, doing that Charger game against the Patriots, seeing Gronk dominate the game without even really touching the football because of what he did in the run game, you can't be right defensively when you have an inline tight end that not only can maul you in the run game, but is more than adequate in the passing game. And at the end of Gronk's career, like, he wasn't the same guy he was athletically, but he still was very physical in the run game. He could box guys out. He has a feel for kind of working in space. It's a very instinctive position. And this kid, Hawkinson, has it. And I think if you're the Jacksonville Jags and you just put all that money into Nick Foles, to me, if you want to make another investment to make the first investment look smart, you take T.J. Hawkinson and you don't look back.
Dan, you know how much I love you. Great stuff tonight. We'll be watching NFL Network live coverage, draft tonight starting at 8. Thank you so much, Daniel.
I appreciate you, Colin. I'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Yeah, I went to a Charger game last year, ran into him, and he just does a really, really good job. It's just, this is so great for me. If you're bored out there right now with me, I feel bad for you. I pity the fool, because I'm having the time of my life. I'm breaking down blocking from tight ends. This is as great as America gets. This is the best. You know, the political part of our country is all divided. Can we be unified here? T.J. Hawkinson for president. It's the happiest I've ever been breaking down TJ Hawkinson film. I'm such a dork.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
One of my favorite guys is in studio right now, Chris Mannix. He does boxing. He does NBA, Sports Illustrated. The crossover with Chris Mannix podcast is a must listen for NBA guys. Great to have you, bud.
Good to be here.
Before I get to, you know, you cover a lot of Celtics, and I have picked them to win the Eastern Conference. I think Milwaukee, Boston, I'll take Kyrie hitting late shots. Situationally, I'll take Brad Stevens. I think Tatum, Horford are guys that rise in big moments. I want to start with a Kyrie situation. There is this understanding now that KD's leaving the Warriors, and that's kind of sucking all the air out of the room. But Kyrie leaving the Celtics is on the East Coast. Are KD leaving the Warriors out West? He and Stevens have a different mindset. It's an imperfect relationship, but there are other factors working. My gut tells me he doesn't leave Boston. What do you believe?
I lean towards staying for a couple of reasons. One thing people are now starting to realize over the last, you know, couple of months is just how much the injuries of last season resonate with Kyrie Irving. He's talked extensively in the last couple of weeks about how this time last year he was sitting at home, he was taking antibiotics, he was dealing with stuff that he never had to deal with before. And when you're going through something like that, money starts to resonate with you.
Sure.
A long-term contract starts to resonate with you. Where would John Wall be right now if he didn't take the bird in the hand? John Wall, I hate to say set for life with anything, but John Wall is going to make $170 million over the next 4 years, and he might not be close to the John Wall that once was. That's number one. The contract and the full 5 years that only Boston can give him, I think that's a bigger factor than people think. I also think that, look, the Celtics, since day one, have not treated Kyrie Irving like a regular player. They have treated this like he's the franchise player, and this is a partnership. So they haven't exactly said to him, like, you know, stick around, here comes Anthony Davis, but you better be sure that he's aware that if he sticks around, Boston's going to go out and do everything they have to do to get Anthony Davis. So when Kyrie Irving hits free agency this summer, he is going to have the option of going back to Boston on a 5-year deal, which is valuable to him, and potentially have one of his best friends in the league, Anthony Davis, playing alongside him on a team that won't have to gut itself to go and get Anthony Davis.
I think Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. You disagree?
I think he's the best offensive player in the world. I think if I'm in Game 7 and I want one player, it's Kevin Durant. But I just think we just grossly underestimate what Giannis has done this year in Milwaukee. Kevin Durant's doing all these things, and they're remarkable. What he did last night was remarkable. But Kevin Durant, when he's out there on the floor, he at least, defenses have the threat of what Steph Curry might do to them. They have the threat of what Klay Thompson could do to them from the outside. Kevin Durant benefits from that and a lot of one-on-one type of defense out there. Giannis doesn't have that. I like Chris Middleton a lot. He's not Curry or Klay Thompson.
No.
Brook Lopez having a great year. Eric Bledsoe, nice year. None of these guys are on the level of what Kevin Durant has in Golden State. And Giannis has just put up MVP. He's going to be the MVP. He's put up MVP level numbers without having those types of players around him. And if you're talking about the best player, Colin, you have to throw in defense, because Giannis is going to be defensive player of the year, in my opinion, as well. And as great as Kevin Durant is offensively, he can score from the perimeter, he can score from the paint. Giannis can defend fives, he can defend ones, and he does it at an extremely high level. When you're talking about who the best player is, you got to throw the defensive side as well. I don't want this to be taken as critique of KD, because KD is awesome. But if as far as the best player in the league this year, totality, I would take Giannis.
I'm not going to talk Rockets-Warriors. It's not final yet, and the Clippers are pesky, and they go back home. I'll take Milwaukee in Boston. I'll take Boston in a very close series late. I think they win one of the first two games in Milwaukee. You will take who?
I lean towards Boston. The Marcus Smart injury gives me reason for pause.
Gordon Hayward playing better.
Gordon Hayward's great. I mean, Gordon Hayward, as people in Boston told me around February when I would ask about, you know, are they looking at guys at the trade deadline? They would say Gordon Hayward is our trade deadline acquisition. You know, Gordon Hayward's the guy that's going to be playing like Gordon Hayward come playoff time. And that was kind of hard to believe right around early to mid-February. He had some good games, but he was nowhere near this consistent player. And the biggest jump in Gordon Hayward from November to where he is right now is just his confidence in going to the basket and his confidence in playing through contact.
By the way, that's what happens after an injury.
Yeah.
Like motorcycle driver, basketball player, Tom Brady first year after the big injury. I never forget. He hated people diving at his feet for 2 years. Gordon's got it back. The Lakers situation is interesting. How bad is it?
What layer are we talking about there?
I don't think they can land Anthony Davis because I don't think they have the pieces.
No, I mean, I've often said this and written this, but if Kyrie Irving re-signs with Boston, this is not even a conversation. Anthony Davis will be a Celtic because Danny Ainge will not get outbid for Anthony Davis. I mean,
they'll give you Gordon Hayward, Al Horford. They'll give you what?
I think Tatum, Brown.
Oh, really?
Draft picks.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it's got to take Jason Tatum, I think, to go and get, I don't think David Griffin.
So you think Boston will absolutely out? Well, the Lakers don't have that many pieces anymore because Lonzo Ball can't stay healthy.
Yeah. And there's no outbidding Boston. We say this every year when it comes to Celtics. The Celtics can outbid anybody. Well, they can. Like, they come lottery night, they could have as many as 4 first round picks.
Wow.
In this draft. And they've got Tatum. Okay. And they've got Brown, who's playing like the guy we saw last year in the playoffs.
Okay, so if they don't get Anthony Davis, I said a couple days ago, Joy was here, it feels Hail Mary for Jimmy Butler. If Philadelphia gets whacked by Toronto, Butler exits stage right, jettisons the Sixers. Is he a hopeful Laker? Is LeBron's next 3 years going to be playing with this group of dudes?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you want to get Jimmy Butler, you'd have to 4-year probably max him out. I'm just guessing, you know, the marketplace being what it is. At some point with Jimmy Butler, you're going to be paying for past production. Look, right now he's worth a high dollar amount, max level contract. But year 2, year 3, does the body start to break down a little bit? What are you paying for when it comes to Jimmy Butler? It's the same thing maybe with DeMarcus Cousins. What are you paying for if you go out and sign DeMarcus Cousins to a high-level deal? The Lakers are in a tough spot. I was thinking about this when I was, just thinking about the Laker coaching situation. And the Lakers and Suns right now both want Monty Williams. He's at the top of both their lists. Is it possible the Suns are a better coaching job than the Lakers?
Well, I get Devin Booker, who's young. I get the kid they just drafted last year from
DeAndre Ayton.
I at size.
Who was great, by the way. Put up big numbers this year.
And by the way, aren't they one of the lottery teams?
Yeah, with a top chance to get a top 4 pick.
So if I can get Ja Morant, Devin Booker, it's a better job than the Lakers.
You got to take the Robert Sarver stuff out of the equation because Robert Sarver has proven himself to be not a great owner in this league and meddlesome.
Okay, but the question is Jeannie Buss a great owner?
No, I mean, the Lakers, and I gave Jeannie Buss a mulligan, a couple of weeks ago when Magic Johnson left. I said, look, she made her mistake. She's a new owner, but now she kind of sees how things are being done there. But instead, you're hearing about Linda Rambis advising her on some of these decisions. Kurt Rambis is in a meeting, with the coaching search. I don't understand any of this. Like, it's hard to build an NBA franchise. It's not hard to find out who the guys are who can build an NBA franchise. Why today, Oklahoma City season is over, why today they're not FedExing a big check to Sam Presti with $20 million on it is beyond me. Like, send him, or forget $20 million, send him a blank check and say, Sam, you fill in the number. And then Jeannie Buss can step back and say, I'm done. I just hired the best available GM in basketball, and now I can watch this guy go out there and work. And I can approve of every decision he makes because this guy built a mini dynasty in Oklahoma City. He survived the loss of Kevin Durant to acquire Paul George, and we can debate how good they are. That's fine. But that's a small market team with two top 10, top 15 type players on it.
Dennis Schroeder was a good get for them, too.
Incredible get for them.
They kind of stole him from Atlanta.
Yeah.
But I could knock Presti for this, and I have on this show. He enabled Westbrook. And it's easy for me to drop the hammer. I said 3 years ago, you can't win titles with Westbrook. There's too much rigidity to his game. He's playing 100 miles an hour. Nobody else can keep up. I think he's better than John Wall, but there is an Iverson John Wall component here where he's almost playing by himself. He can finish with 8 assists, but it feels like Russell's playing by himself sometimes. Couldn't I knock Presti and say, dude, you chose Westbrook. You had Harden, KD, and Russell, and you put your arms around Russell and the two other left.
The Harden mistake will always haunt him. He knows that. He should have paid Harden when he had the opportunity and kept him around. I don't know if choosing KD over Russ was really the thing. I'm not sure that would have made a difference.
Is KD leaving for sure?
Nothing's for sure. Kevin Durant in a room is unpredictable because Kevin Durant can be influenced in a room, as he was a couple of years ago by Golden State and what they did. I'm not sure he can be influenced by Golden State at this point. I think he might be influenced by the Clippers. Just my read on it.
Hold on. So you don't think it's New York?
I don't think it's a guarantee it's New York.
You think the Clippers are in the running for him?
Because the Clippers right now are submitting their resume to Kevin Durant. I mean, look at what we are without you. What the Clippers need is a Kevin Durant. You put Kevin Durant in the Clippers next year, are they not co-favorite in the Western Conference?
They're interesting.
Up there.
I tell you, Doc Rivers had the best. I think Doc Rivers had a sensational year.
Mm-hmm.
He really has. That team plays on a string. They play so hard. You know, I'm watching last night at Oracle. It was really the Clippers game from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They control the game.
Yeah. Start to finish. I think Kevin Durant is going to take a whole bunch of meetings. I think the Knicks remain in the pole position. I don't know anything about, you know, any kind of real tampering, but if the Knicks made the deals that they did without having any kind of assurances that Kevin Durant was going to go there, they are crazy. Like, they are just crazy. To offload Kristaps Porzingis for nothing, basically nothing, and not have any assurance that Kevin Durant was going to go, that to me would be nuts.
Great seeing you. Senior writer, Sports Illustrated. He's all over the place. The Crossover Podcast with Chris Mannix. Now he's doing boxing for DAZN. Is that right?
DAZN, yeah.
DAZN. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of networks out there.
There are, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for me, though.
I've worked for half of them. I mean, it's just the way it works, Chris. Great seeing you.